Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to His holy name. God is great and He's greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we thank God for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank Him for... Come on, bless His name. Come on, give Him your best praise. Come on, 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 come on. Come on, give Him your best praise. Glory to His name. Certainly we owe God, thank you. My initial sermon, I told you that when you go into the store and you purchase something, they give you a receipt. And on the bottom of the receipt, it says, thank you. And as good as God has been to us, certainly we should give Him a receipt. Come on, where's your thank you? Come on, tell Him thank you. Come on, give Him His receipt. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Certainly we're excited and thank God for our young people. Come on, our junior ushers, junior deacons, choir. Amen. Puppet ministry. Amen. Our youth are and children are leading us in our worship experience today, and we thank God for the beauty of their spirit. Come on again. Bless God for them. Amen. You heard the call. You heard the call from the minister of music. If you have a child and your child is able to sing, amen, or not so able, amen, bring them to choir rehearsal so they can sing. We want this choir loft full. Listen, if you don't give them over to the Lord, you'll give them over to the devil. So we want them busy and active in church and in worship. Amen. And God can get perfected praise out of them. Come on, one more time for our young people. Amen. Glory to the name of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Lately we've been having a lot of illness and death. And certainly we pray for those who are ill and those who are bereaved. Sister Threets is here this morning. And certainly we pray for her and her family. We had intentions of doing something significant for Miss Bruce. And I just pray that we have a gesture of some sort for 50 years at her homegoing service. We'll shift from Sunday school hour to homegoing service, something memorable for her family that denotes her sacrifice of service for 50 years. That's a long time. That's longer than I've been in the world. Amen. 50 years. Amen. Amen. But we pray much for her family and pray much for others, Sister Stella Harris and the Ruffin family. The Baller family, and it goes on and on. We've been having about 2 funerals a week, and we pray that God will settle us. You know, the older people would say it normally happened in 3s or 4s, and I pray that the Lord break that, that we don't have funerals like that long time. Amen. Amen. So we pray for the families of the deceased, and we pray for those who are sick and ill. We have an extensive prayer list, and those who are in the hospital, and certainly we want to be mindful of them and pray God that He heal and comfort those who are in need and those who are suffering loss. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, look at the screen. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Look at somebody and say, effective prayer. Look at another and say, effective prayer. Help me yell it out to the virtual audience. Effective prayer. Come on, give somebody a smile. On your way to your seat. Effective prayer. It is John the Beloved who put pen to papyrus to write 1 John to warn of false teachers and to reassure believers of the conquering power of faith in Christ. In chapters 1 and 2, John assures that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It is also in chapters 1 and 2 that John assures that if we sin, we should confess our sins, and God will forgive us and cleanse us of sin because Christ is our propitiation. In chapters 3 and 4, John shares the love of God in that God sent Christ to destroy the works of the devil. He encourages believers to love one another in deed and in truth. It is in chapter 5 that John exhorts Christians to live by faith because it is faith that overcomes the wickedness of the world. In a world influenced by evil, prayer is essential for Christians who are living in darkness, in decay, in a dying world. The Lord commands Christians to pray. Hear Him, if you will, in scriptures. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray about everything. Philippians 4:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. We are commanded to pray, but not pray or praying with just uttering of words just to say something to God, but we are commanded to pray effectively. Effective prayer is prayer that God hears. Effective prayer is prayer that is in tune with God. Effective prayer is being in touch with God in conversation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is in verses 14 and 15. John gives elements for effective prayer. If you're going to pray effectively, first of all, there has to be confidence in prayer. Let me hear you say confidence in prayer. John said in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence. This is the parousia. This is the confidence. The word confidence, parousia, it denotes freedom of frankness in speaking. It denotes freely saying all that one thinks, confidence or boldness. Parousia denotes the unwavering, fearless and unhesitating faith because there is communion with God. Parousia implies a special exercise of faith. John uses the word confidence in verse 14 to describe what comes out of communing with God through Jesus Christ. Listen, when you spend time with God, God gives you confidence in your walk with Him, in your talk with Him. He gives you confidence in your communing with Him, in your conversation with Him, in your sleeping and dealing with Him. He gives you confidence as you commune with Him. Confidence. Confidence in prayer. If you're going to pray effectively, you need confidence in God. There's confidence in being positioned in God. Hear Him again. Notice the words in Him. You can have confidence that God hears you when you pray because you are in Him, in Christ. Let the church say, in Christ. See, the only way you can approach God in prayer is in Christ and in Christ alone. You can't approach God in somebody else other than Christ, like Buddha or Confucius or the person sitting beside you or the person sitting in front of you or in the name of the person sitting behind you. You can only approach God in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 and 20. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. It was Jesus Christ while He was hanging on the cross who shed blood for us, who shed blood so that we could go into the most holy place. We could go into the presence of Christ. Only Christ is righteous. Only Christ alone is perfect, is the perfect person. Only Christ is mediator. Only Christ has the right to stand before God. If you would approach God, you must approach Him in Christ. It's because of our permanent fixed position that we are able to approach Christ, approach God through Christ in prayer. We have confidence because of our position, not because of who we are as people, but because of our position, not because of our status in and out in the community, but because of our position, not because of our lineage. It's because of our position in
Christ.
I'm in Him. Let me hear you say that I'm in Him. I'm in Him. Yes, I'm in Christ. But not only do we have confidence in prayer because of our position in Christ, there is confidence in prayer because of the power of Christ's name. Oh, the name of Jesus the Christ is the only acceptable name to God. The only name you can receive anything from God. Salvation is in His name. Blessings are in His name. Healing is in His name. Deliverance is in His name. It is Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Whereby we are, Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. In Him, in His name, we have access to God because His name is exalted, and God has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is in John 14:13 where Jesus Himself says, whatever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John says you can have confidence that God hears you when you pray, if you are positioned in Christ, if you know the power of His name. Not only should there be confidence in prayer, but secondly, there needs to be contemplation of God's will. Verse 14, because if you ask anything according to His will. His will. Not your desire, but His will. Not what you want, but according to His will. See, the will of God is revealed to us in His Word. His Word is His will, and His will is His Word. The will of God consists of the things that are in line with God's plan and purpose. The words according to His will denotes prayer parameters. God has parameters. There are prayer parameters. Example, in sports, whether it be football or basketball or baseball or any other sport, there are white lines on the field and on the court to define the parameters. As long as you play within the white lines, you are fine. You are in bounds. The moment you step out of the line, you are out of bounds, out of the regular playing area, out of what is called acceptable playing area. Well, God has drawn lines for us in prayer. It is called acceptable prayer area. And whenever you step out of the line, God has a whistle just like the referee. He says you out of bounds. When you pray and you are out of bounds, God blows His whistle. When you pray without faith, God blows His whistle. You out of bounds. When you pray to satisfy your selfish and sinful desire, when you pray with lack of faith, when you pray for lust and luck, God blows His whistle and calls you out of bounds. Listen, when you pray, you either pray inside or outside the bounds of the prayer parameters. You only receive from God when you pray within the parameters of God's will. If you pray outside of the parameters, of God's will, you pray amiss. James says, you pray and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, God does not bless you so that you can spend his blessings on your pleasures. Let me say that again since you're quiet. God doesn't bless you so that you spend his blessings on your pleasures. The blessings of God are not given to you for foolish fun and foolish living. There's a story in the Bible of a boy that got his inheritance from his father. And he was doing well as long as he stayed within his father with his inheritance. But when he decided to take his inheritance outside of his father's house, he lost his inheritance on foolish living. Listen, God has not blessed you for foolish living, because foolish living will take everything from you that God gives unto you. God wants you to live according to his purpose and plan for your life. That's why he blesses you. He blesses you with health and strength. He blesses you with a good mind. He blesses you with mobility. He blesses you with money. He blesses you with a home. He blesses you with transportation. Not that you live life foolishly, but he blesses you so that you will live your life according to his plan and purpose for your life. But when you do that, you pray amiss. You pray outside of the parameters. And you, by now, should have heard the whistle of God blow to bring you back inside the parameters. When you pray, You pray being conscious of God's will for your life, his moral will, his permissive will, his sovereign will. God has communicated his standard, his will, his way of right and wrong based upon his own holy and righteous character. God has revealed it to us in the Word. And so not only has God communicated his will, but he has specified his moral will and his permissive will for us to live by. Moral will, what God says is right and wrong. Moral will, the commandments of God. The Word of God. He has communicated his moral will. But not only that, he has communicated his permissive will. See, God allows things to happen in our lives for a reason. And while we are dealing with the situations that God allows, we don't have understanding of what God is up to. That's why we read the Word of God and read of examples like Joseph and Job to understand God's permissive will. See, God, when he allowed the brothers to put Joseph in the pit, had already determined that Joseph would be in the palace. It was painful in the pit, painful in the prison, but he had to go through the pit and the prison to make it to the palace. God allowed his brothers to put him in the pit, to sell him into slavery. He allowed him to be lied on in Potiphar's house. It's painful in the process, but you have to understand that God has a permissive will.
God and Satan got in a conversation one day and Job's name came up. What happens when God and Satan is talking and your name come up? You do know that Job didn't know that God and Satan was talking. Just like you don't know. But what happens when God allows Satan to touch your things, to touch your possessions, to touch your body, but not your soul? That's his permissive will. Job didn't understand at first. He shaved himself and scraped himself with posture, and he mourned, and his friends came and they indulged and engaged in a conversation, but he didn't know until the end that it was God's permissive will. Listen, oftentimes when we go through things, we say to God, why me? And God says, why not you? Don't you know God knows exactly what you can handle before he allows it to come your way? That he won't put no more on you than you are able to bear. And so when you pray and pray in confidence, you have to know that God has a permissive will, that he allows some things to come about in your life, not for your bad, but for your good. I can hear Paul said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. His permissive will. And God has something in mind. He knows what your end will be before the beginning. And when you pray in confidence. You pray that God will hear you. He'll hear you and he'll answer your prayers. You pray in contemplation of his will. It is about your will. I surrender to your will. I have a yes, Lord. Regardless of what comes my way, I say yes, Lord. When was the last time you thanked God for your troubles? Now, I didn't say your deliverance, but I said your troubles. God allowing some stuff to come your way to make a better you out of you. When was the last time you praised God for what you have gone through? Because what you have gone through have made you a better you. And now that you are on this side of what you have gone through, you can look back at what you have gone through and say, thank you, Lord, for every mountain and every valley. Thank you for all of my troubles. When was the last time you thanked God for his permissive will? It's a confidence, a contemplation, but there's certainty. And I'm done. Verse 14, C clause says he hears us. Hallelujah. He hears us. Say that with me if you will. He hears us. Come on, say it a little louder. He hears us. Come on, say it a little louder. He hears us. W. Jones said, no utterance, whatever, escapes the divine ear. God hears the innumerable prayers that every being presents to him. Brothers and sisters, it's wonderful and worshipful to be heard by God. Oh, it's good to be heard, especially when you are heard by the one and only God, the one who is able to do something about your situations, the one who is able to do what you are asking him to do, and even more, God is able to hear and answer prayer, and amen goes right there. God is able to hear and answer prayer. And John said he hears us. He hears us. You can have confidence that God hears your prayer. You have to know that. You have to know that when you bow on bending knees, that God is listening. You know, it's wonderful to be heard. You know, sometimes when you're talking to people, you're not heard. You know, they may act like they are hearing you or listening to you. Sometimes I'm watching television and the wife will be saying something to me. And she said, "Do you hear me?" I said, "Yeah, I heard you. I heard something. But I was so caught up in the television that I really didn't hear her. Something had my attention." But listen, when it comes to God, there's nothing that can get his attention to keep him from hearing you and hearing me. Matter of fact, God has an all-hearing ear. He can hear every last one of us at the same time. Nobody distracts God from hearing another. Thanks be to God that God hears us. John says, if you know you heard, you know you have the petitions. In other words, what I prayed for, as long as it's within his will, if I don't have it, it's on his way. God got it en route to my address. He hears, and I have the petitions that I desire of him. Well, what is it that God desires? What is God's will for me? Well, it is the will of God for you to have provisions in life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what river shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants to add to your life. He wants to provide for you. You can rest. You can be confident, assured that God will provide your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He wants to provide for you. But not only does God want to provide for you, God wants to protect you and deliver you from trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, God wants to deliver you. He not only shares with us that he want to deliver us in 1 Corinthians, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God wants to protect and deliver us from all of our trials. It's God's will that he deliver us from severe persecution and trouble, to be delivered into the very presence of Almighty Almighty God. Listen, God delivers us in the earth. He delivers us from all of our troubles. He delivers us from all of our afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. But not only does God deliver us in the earth, God delivers us out of the earth. One of these glad mornings, when this life is over, we shall fly away to be at yonder's rest with the Lord. And when He delivers us from this world, He's delivering us from sin. He's delivering us from suffering. He's delivering us from sickness. He's delivering us from problems. He's delivering us from pain. He's delivering us from persecution. He's delivering us from evil. He's delivering us from Satan. He delivers us. Thank God for Jesus. Because it's Jesus who's our kinsman redeemer. Thank God for Jesus that He went on Calvary and died for us. Died to rescue us from the grip of sin and Satan. Listen, we can pray now in Jesus' name, because Jesus is our mediator. He died for us, and He has opened unto us a new and living way through His blood. We can have confidence, contemplation, and certainty in our prayers because we are in Christ. Listen, if you are not in Christ, get in Christ today. I run across people all the time, and I say, "Are you saved?" And they'll come back with something like, "Well, I pray." I didn't ask you if you pray. I asked you if you're saved. Because there are blessings reserved for the in Him. And if you are outside of the Lord, you forfeit the blessings that are only given if you are in Him. Run across people again and say, "Are you saved? Well, I listen to preaching on the radio. And sometimes I listen to preaching on the television." The question is, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Listen, He's Savior where He's Lord, and He's Lord where He's Savior. There are parameters, not only that we pray by, but we live within. And the Lord, He'll blow the whistle to call you out of bounds. If you're unsaved, you're out of bounds. I don't care what you say and who you say you listen to. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you out of bounds. And the Lord is calling you in bounds. He's calling you in Him. First appeal is for those of you who are not saved. Come today and give the Lord your life.
while you have time and opportunity. Don't live your life out of bounds. Don't live your life forfeiting the blessings of the Lord. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a family of faith, you've been putting it off Sunday after Sunday. Said, I'll go next Sunday. I'll go next Sunday. And it's been months, years, and you have lived your life in procrastination. You don't have the time that you think you have. Come. Come. Thirdly, if you need to be restored, the altar of the Lord is open. Fall on your face before God and ask Him to restore in you the joy of your salvation. It's hard to live in a world without the joy God desires to give you. Trouble after trouble, issue after issue. If it's not one thing, it's another. The Lord wants you to have the fullness of joy. Come. Everyone to your feet, if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, you're not saved. If you're here in need of a church home, if you're here in need of restoration, come on, the choir say come. Pastor, preacher say come. Deacons and trustees say come. Verses say come. Hospitality ministry say come. Come while you have opportunity. Come on, come on. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Say it, say it. Come on. This is one of the most important times of worship service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what we have received today from your holy word. Elements of effective prayer. Lord, we have confidence in you. We contemplate your will. And we know the certainty of you answering our prayer if we pray according to your holy will. Lord, thank you for the grace and mercy that you have extended unto us in coming this way and coming into this sanctuary. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this sanctuary, but never your divine presence, we pray for that same grace and mercy. Lord, extend it to us that we may make it to our humble abode and find rest and reflection on your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift. Thank you for your permissive will, moral will, and sovereign will. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now. henceforth and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Be blessed.